All right, Gary, we're ready to go. Gary, you good? All right. All right. Yeah. All right. Yeah, tell you what, if my Mexico team wants to come up here. If you notice, this guy before we went on the trip did not have these crutches and cast. There's a wonderful story behind that. So let me introduce the team to you. In case you do not know them already, I'm privileged to have spent the week with them and privileged to be able to do life with them. But this young lady right here is Lisa Mendoza. Lisa was accompanied on the trip by her husband and her brother-in-law. So her husband and her brother-in-law, Tony. Tony wasn't able to make it. Jose had to go pick up the kids. But we'll share some of their testimonies because, of course, they're amazing. This right here, this is John Ford. John Ford was a fantastic addition, and it was really fun having him here. This is Justin Oman from Findlay. He is the crippled one now. Just as a little side note, we prayed for that cast to be dissolved. I don't know how many times, but it is still there. So we're still in faith. We're still believing. And this is Timmy Ford. Timmy Ford is pretty awesome. Dave Osborne, you might know him. This guy, I want to brag on Dave just a little bit. This is I seen more growth in Dave on the first day than I saw the entire 2 years before that. I was really kind of getting to know him. So it was just incredible to see Dave step up and just see God use him. And this is my father-in-law. God bless him too, Gary Green. He is an amazing man of God too. So just a little bit of backstory before we start sharing some of the testimonies from the mission trip. I've been connected with the missionary there. His name's Daniel Veach, and he really has a true apostolic call in his life. And so he lived in Mexico as a missionary for 7 years, and then he positioned himself just a little north of the border about 6 months ago or so to kind of oversee some of that stuff. And so they have a little better health care there in the United States, as we definitely could attest to nowadays. But Daniel's kind of set up this apostolic network and these connections, and so like we really went down to kind of serve. And three of these guys, this was the first time on the trip, and four of the team members, it was the first time on the trip, and we had four of them who went last year with me as well. But so we got to go to, we ministered in five different churches over a span of really 6 days. We drove over 1,500 miles on roads that have you ever been in Morrow County and driving on some back roads? These roads were worse than that. These roads were bad. And some of them were dirt roads. And we drove over 1,500 miles on these things. So it was just a long, where it seemed like we're always in the car, we're always on the move. But these guys were champs, and they really hammered it out and pressed in, and we really got to see God do some incredible things, really incredible things. And we really want to share with you, because I mean, like, one of my favorite scriptures is Revelation 19:10, says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So if Jesus is doing it there, he can do it here, because we're all in one spirit. We're all going for the same goal. And so our testimonies on this trip are your testimonies too. So if you want to see God do it, say, ah. You just grab onto that, and you just take it with you, and you run. And you run, because God will do it. God is faithful. I mean, like we saw this morning, we saw how many people got healed of ear issues.
1, 2, 3.
Cecilia? So we'll say 4 and 1 pending. Yeah, and then I mean, like we had people healed this morning of leg issues, back issues, wrist issues, and knee issues. I was just like, God is up to some incredible stuff. And one verse that's really stuck out to me as I've kind of been, you know, seeking God and kind of, okay, well, what do you really want to say? And so how many of you familiar with Habakkuk? And, you know, there's just three chapters, very short and sweet. But basically what happens is Habakkuk, he just calls out to God, why are all these terrible things happening in this world? You know, woe is me type thing. Why aren't you showing up? Why do you let this stuff happen? In God's response, God's answer, he says, look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed, for I'm going to do something in your days that you would not believe even if you were told. We'll read it one more time. Look at the nations and watch. Be utterly amazed, for I'm going to do something in your days that you would not believe even if you were told. God says in our day, we wouldn't even believe even if somebody told you. So we're going to tell you some of these amazing things. And our prayer is that you believe them, they set true, and you just receive them as your testimonies. Because this, I mean, like, this was a prophetic word. This was a word from God in the old covenant. You know, now we have Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit, and, you know, there's just so many things that God wants to share and then God wants to do. So, with that being said, I had a piece of paper here, Gary. I had a piece of paper here. Or is it? Here it is. All right. No. Jose went bye-bye. So, I tell you what, I'll just share the first little testimony that kind of hops out in my mind. Is this the rain? yeah. Okay. So we're driving into Mexico. How many of you have driven into Mexico before? One, two. Okay. Let me paint a little picture for you. So we're driving into the town of Naco, which Naco is just this really small border town, which we ended up doing two nights of ministry there in the end of the trip. But so we drive through here, and we have to basically go across the border. But we did it on the Mexico side to a little town called Cananea, and they have different checkpoints in Mexico. Like once you're driving, most of them are in a big, you know, like they have kind of an overhang shelter type thing. So you kind of know there's a checkpoint. But then they have some random ones where cops just park out on the side of the road. And you basically have to pull up real slow and talk to them and just see what they want. So they can check you at any point. You do whatever. So I've had some not so friendly experiences with those. I mean, nothing bad, but nothing great. And so we're just going through these checkpoints, you know. You know, and like each time we come to a checkpoint, I'm just praying for God for more favor, just more favor that we get through this so we can get to where we're going, because we're kind of on a time crunch anyway. And first one's work. He just kind of waved us on by. I'm like, awesome, come on. And then we get to this other one. This is probably maybe 30 miles before our destination on Saturday, and we get up there, and there's a couple cars pulled to the side, so I kind of know they're going to pull us over to the side. And you know, I said, you know what, God, I just, more favor. So I just start praying. I find myself praying out loud, and then I start praying for rain. I said, God, you know what? If it poured on them right now, they'd get back on that car and they'd just wave us on. Sure enough, it just started pouring. These guys got right back in their car, and they rolled down their window, and they just said, I was like, that is awesome. That is God's favor. And that's just kind of a picture of what God did on this trip. I mean, he just showed up in some incredible ways. And that was on our way to a little town called Cananea. And Cananea, I have some pictures. I don't have them with me, though. But Cananea is a little church where we ended up getting two more girls to come with us. One of them spoke English, kind of, and then the other one was a Spanish-speaking girl, but really felt led to come on the trip, but they were some great additions to that trip. Do any of you guys have testimonies for Cananea? Gary?
Just real short. Yeah. But before, when he said road, he was lying. There was no road. They were thinking about a road. They almost had a road, but no road. But we're going to do about 10 seconds of the road. Can you ready? We're going to do 7 seconds of the road. Ready? Go. Well, I was going to say that.
Josh and Daniel.
We'll do 5 seconds of Daniel driving. Ready? Now let's do 5 seconds of Josh driving. Okay. There's literally dents, I think, in the back on the roof panel.
I actually did bloody Daniel.
He did. Yeah. So, yeah, that was something. Cananea. You know, when we got there, we were tired, and the Holy Spirit came, which he always does. But there's to me, it's almost like you see little points of light coming down and touching people's lives. I have a picture of John and Timmy ministering to one of the girls' mother. Her name is Roxanne, and Roxy is the daughter. Roxy came with us, but we didn't know that Roxy's mom gave up 2 jobs. She ended up losing them because she sent her daughter on this trip, and her father, and we don't know the whole story, so I'll just say he died. And before we got there, maybe a month or so, I think. And so she had some real trauma in her life. And the mother, just before we left, we just had Timmy and John just ministered to her. And I think, did you too, Justin? Justin, all 3 of these guys. And she just sobbed, God just did a healing in her heart. It was just an awesome thing. But those kind of things happen all the time, just as much as physical. But that was a tremendous healing, emotional healing that he was doing there too. So it was pretty neat. It was pretty neat. The whole thing was pretty neat. So, wow. We have some visitors.
Hey.
Hey. All right. Yeah. Wow. Another Cananea?
Cananea, sure.
All right.
So something we all noticed pretty early on was in that culture, the kids were, I don't know, there was some kind of magical age where the kids were invited to participate in the services. But for the most part, the kids were kind of told to not bother the adults and to go off somewhere else. So the different places we went, it was fun to involve the kids. And there was one story I remember. This was actually the first time Ariana, one of the girls that we went with when she translated with us, I didn't know who she was. But my translator took off, then all of a sudden there was somebody else speaking to me in English, and it turned out to be a girl that went on the bus with us the next day to be a translator, so that was convenient. But we're praying for this girl's toe. It was broken, and she had a lot of pain. And so I prayed the first time, and it got better, and then her brother was there. So seeing how the kids weren't really involved, I wanted to get the kid involved, and figured that'd be a good way to get people praying for each other, was to get the kids to do it first, for the adults to get encouraged. So I asked her brother to come over and pray for her. And so he wasn't really sure what to do, and most of the Mexican kids were a little intimidated by us. So kind of got down on his level, talked to him for a little bit, and translated a little prayer for him to pray. And then the little girl's toe got much better after he prayed. So then it was a lot of fun to encourage him and tell him what he did. And I don't know if he really believed me that it actually worked, because I tried to get him to pray again to get it the full way, and he was like, no, I wouldn't do it. But it was fun to get him involved the first time, and then I made a big clapping storm to get all the adults' attention, to so everyone could see that he did something, so that was exciting.
The days all run together, I can't remember. Saturday night, when we were there, it was, you know, we were tired, we'd been driving all day and flying and all that stuff, but it's not really a testimony, it's more just a story, because the lady who was in charge, Roxana, she has a dance team. There's like 4 ladies, you know, and they just, after worship and everything, they did like a special, and it was nothing fancy. I mean, they were in like, you know, white dresses and gold sashes kind of thing. But it definitely changes your perspective of worship when it's so simple. I mean, their moves were nothing fancy. I mean, it was literally like, I mean, you know, but it was the heart behind it. Cause I just sat there and I was mesmerized by it, and they weren't even doing anything. I mean, it was literally standing, you know, But it was just the heart behind it. And that spoke to me volumes. I mean, they could have done some big flashy thing with all this stuff, but it was simply just their heart of worship that got my attention. And so what I took away from that is that it doesn't matter what you're wearing. It doesn't matter what moves you're doing, but it's the heart behind it. And so that spoke to me that night because we didn't know what in the world the words were. I mean, most of the week, you know, all the week, we didn't know what was going on half the time because you can't understand them, but it didn't matter. You know, like the worship didn't matter. I mean, nothing, it didn't matter what the words were because you knew the heart behind it. And so that spoke to me because they were just in it. They weren't focused on anyone else watching them. They were just like, here. And so I thought that was a huge deal because we take that for granted out here, so.
That was the first night that we got there, first place. Josh shared the message and he announced that he was going somewhere with it, and then he never got there. And he was like, he just switched it up real quick and was like, you know what? We're just going to start ministering to people, and God's going to heal people. You guys want to see that? And everyone just clapping, you know. So we get up there, and he goes, okay, team, words of knowledge, go, now. And this one gentleman, he had been in an accident. He was late 60s, early 70s probably, but he had been in an accident years prior and just had chronic pain, like, all over his body. And me and John prayed for him, and this guy went from, we prayed for him 3 times, I think, but he went from like a constant 8 or 9, you know, on a scale to 10 pain to a 3 and then to 0. And he was just, we went on, started praying for the next person, and for some reason I looked back and he was sitting and he was just, there was tears just pouring out of his eyes. Like, he was just completely blasted by God. You know, he was a believer. I could just sense that the Holy Spirit was just resting on him, and he was just a solid believer, but he just encountered God in a way that he had never experienced before, and it just, you know, brought him to tears, and that was incredible. Also, just the Holy Spirit just fell on us that first night and just continued to be with us the entire week. I've never seen so many people fall out while they were getting prayed for, and the Spirit just, people just getting blasted, and they would just lay on the ground and twitch and laugh and cry and all kinds of cool stuff. It was amazing, and you know, just see God just work in unique ways with you know, each individual. They're just, you know, so many different reactions, but just being overwhelmed with the presence of God and just you know, not being able to keep their legs under them. It was powerful. It was powerful.
I'm the new guy. Not the new one on the trip, but the new one. Actually, I was kind of scared at some point they were just going to leave me because the church wouldn't know the difference. We got everybody back, right? Yeah. All the MCC people are here. So I'm Justin. You know, this is all new to me, but it's not new to me. And so it was a blessing to be eased into it with just so much comfort and support from the people around me. And before we even got to Mexico, we were at Daniel's house, and Timmy and I were outside the van. And Timmy and I had clicked a few weeks earlier, so we were having a conversation. He was talking about leg pain. And I'm used to lifting and working out. I know what tight muscles are, but something in me was like, we might as well just give this a shot and see what it works early. So I was like, dude, we'll just say no pain in Jesus' name. And he goes, do it one more time. I was like, all right, no pain. He's like, yeah. Like, y'all know Timmy? I don't stretch shirts out as nice as him, but that's a pretty good impression.
my leg hasn't been numb since then. And he sat in the van and rode on terrible roads every
single day. And my leg has not been numb since then. And any time I would have a long car ride, like an hour or more, my leg would go numb. And it would be numb for like 3 days at a time. And my leg has not been numb.
Come on, Jesus. Yeah. Yeah, and God just continued to work me into it. Like I said, I'm the new guy, and the first night when we were ministering, I don't even know what our groups were supposed to be. We never ended up in the groups we were supposed to be in. And I ended up with Gary and Jose, and Gary was just, like, so good about supporting me and encouraging to keep praying. And we just saw person after person come up with diabetes, like, one after the other, and they could have gone anywhere to be prayed for, and it's like God was telling us something because every person that we got to pray for was like, oh, I have diabetes issues. And then you watch them just encounter the Spirit. And it's like, I don't have any way to check, but I'm pretty sure they just got healed of diabetes. I don't know what's going on, but I think it's gone. It was just crazy. And like Timmy said, like the Spirit just showed up and just started falling on people. And I personally have seen it, but have never experienced like laying hands on somebody and watching the presence just overcome them. And just being blessed by like watching that happen through me. And like Lisa had said, like the simplicity of the dance, like the same thing. It was just the simplicity of a heart of obedience where it's just like, I'm just going to go, I'm just going to do it. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to lay hands on him and I'm just going to ask for his presence. And it showed up. I didn't have to feel anything. It just came. That was just a total blessing.
I think it was Cananea. One night somebody had a word for stomach issues. I think it was Johnny and I prayed for a guy, and his pain was gone. He's like, I have no more pain. And not only was he healed of stomach pain, he got healed of back pain, a migraine headache, and he was having nightmares. And God took it all. So we get to that church that night, and I just seen this giant spider, spiritual spider. It was bigger and wider than the door, and it was above the door, and it had spun a web over the door, the main entrance. And we shared, the pastor, was saying that some of the staff was fighting and arguing and stuff, and I shared that, and we was praying, and she was just bawling. And I felt like our presence there and what we'd done that night had ripped the web, and so it was on its way to being destroyed.
And they acknowledged that too, remember? They acknowledged that. They understood that when you got done. Sure. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
One.
We even got out of Cananea.
Yeah. Yeah, we're definitely still in Cananea. This is night one. And, they definitely acknowledged that word, and they were just excited to hear it and receive it. And, I mean, so many times throughout the trip, we got words that, like these pastors and these leaders, you know, told us, like they saw angels going before us, kind of paving the way and all this stuff. And it was just awesome. One testimony that kind of stands out to me from Cananea is we were obviously praying for people and for healing, and I had one guy that came up to me. He was probably 17, 18 years old, and he had issues seeing, real blurry vision. Didn't have glasses or anything. And so say if he is where Lisa is, I'm standing back here. I'm up on stage. I'm like, can you see me? He goes, no. So like I keep getting back, and so like I'm standing about this far away until he says he has like crisp vision, so if I take a step away, I'm blurry. Get the picture? Okay. So we just prayed. We prayed and prayed and prayed. So we just released the healing. And I said, okay, well, it's time to check. So I'm standing here. He could see me. I come back here. He could see me clear. Come back here. He could still see me clear. I'm all the way up against the back of the church. Probably, maybe 20 feet maybe. I mean, and he still says he can see me clearly. So John grabs a piece of music sheet, and he's sitting there holding this, walking it back like this, and the kid can read the sheet. and we couldn't read the sheet. And so, so God just stepped up and he healed the guy's eyes. And that's just, man, it's just, why does God do it? I don't know. You know, he just wants to demonstrate how awesome he is and how much he loves everybody. But you got something you want to add to that?
Real brief. Yeah. I'll be real brief. The key, I think, here is every time in the beginning when something was done and there was you could see a miracle take place, a word of knowledge and things happen and healing, people would go from sitting in their seat to kind of getting at the edge of their seat a little bit, and pretty soon they're in their seat, pretty soon they're standing in line because they're realizing it's real. You know, so when they start seeing those things, this is going to happen all the way through the whole story. Things happen. God touches somebody. When he touches somebody, speaking to their heart, they believe he's who he says he is. And before you know it, you know, there's more things going on, which I'm not going to share it all there. But there will be tremendous things going on.
And when we started the service, I had this wonderful message planned out on inheritance. It was so good. You know, like people are just going to really understand their inheritance in Christ, and you know, so Jose, God bless his soul, he couldn't translate the word inheritance, so I basically just read the definition. I was like, oh my gosh, Holy Spirit, help me. So then the team just came up, and you know, like we just started ministering then. But you know, it was just, I mean, that was just kind of how things went there. You know, we just, you know, we had a schedule, but it never really seemed to work or fit in the schedule. You know, I mean, like we had three and a half hour, four hour services. I mean, it was just amazing. So after we left Cananea, we slept in the church, or at least most of us slept in the church. No. Just for sake of time, we're gonna roll on. But so we slept in the church. We got up. So like we were in bed by, what, midnight. Best case scenario, midnight. That's their time, 3 o'clock a.m., our time here. And we got up at 3 a.m. to drive all the way down to Keno. So Keno was about a 6.5 hour drive. You know, we're driving early morning in Mexico on this literally the worst road I have ever seen in my life. Luckily for the team, Daniel drove. But So we finally got to Keno, and we had a church service at 11 a.m., which is why we had to leave so early. This is on Sunday morning. You guys have anything you want to share from that morning? Yeah? Okay. Tell you what. Oh, yeah. You know, tell you what. You guys can share testimonies from the whole 3 days in Keno and Los Pilares. You cool with that? Yeah. Monday is its own day, at least for most of the team. So we had a church service Sunday morning, and then we had then we went and found a hotel, and then we went out to another little town right in that area and had had evening services Sunday night, Monday night, and Tuesday night. And just to give you a little bit of a background here, we didn't really realize the little campground or little pueblo that we're going to, but like there was. We didn't get it at first. We didn't get it until really going into the second night, or kind of like when the second night started. But there was such an oppression over this place, and you know, so it was kind of cool to see the team kind of get together and really be on the forefront of actually seeing spiritual warfare take place. And then you know, at the third night, we just saw all kinds of stuff break open, and it was incredible. But it was just, you know, it was a great 3 day process here.
So probably in the top five for me in the trip, me, Lisa, and Jose, and one of the girls from Cananea, we prayed for this lady. She came up, and she said she had back pain. And we started to pray for her, and I just had this impression. I just feel like the Lord was like, you know, her hips are twisted. And one of her legs is quite a bit longer than the other one, and that's why she has constant back pain. Because the twisted hips, the spine like curves, and it's out of alignment. So I asked her, I said, do you know, like a lot of people, they don't know, they just know they have back pain, but that's a pretty common thing. And so I asked her, I said, do you know if like one of your legs is longer than the other one? And she was like, yeah. She's like, it's been like that for a while, you know. And she had, like, chronic back pain. Like, she said it was like an 8 or 9, like on a daily basis after like the first half hour of being awake every single day. And so I just had her sit down in a seat, and we're all praying for her, and I'm holding her ankles, and literally it was probably, the one leg was probably an inch or maybe a little bit more longer than the other one. And we prayed for probably 60 seconds, and all of a sudden it just went boop and grew out. And I just set her legs down, and I told her, stand up, check her back, and it was she was completely healed. And she came back the next day and ran up to Lisa and found a translator and was like, oh, it was Ariana. Yeah. Comes up to the Spanish girl and starts just, I mean, her face is just beaming, and she's like sharing, and I'm like, I'm watching, I'm like, what is she saying? So I go over there, and Ariana says, she said her back has been fine all day. She's been doing laundry and like all this stuff around the house, and like absolutely no pain. And during worship, she was dancing. She said she felt like she had to come, and the Lord told her that she needed to just dance and just worship. And so like during the song part of the worship, she was just dancing and like just had so much joy on her face. And that was super cool.
So most of us, you know, we'd prayed for, you know, before going on this trip, we'd prayed for people, and you know, we'd seen shoulders and backs, all that kind of stuff healed, and it's fun. But, you know, you hear testimonies, you hear stories of things other people are praying for, and, you know, you haven't gotten the opportunity to pray for that yet. So, you know, when you've seen a bunch of shoulders healed, it's not a big deal to heal another one. But then when somebody starts complaining of an organ pain or something like that that you've never had the opportunity to pray for, all of a sudden impossible looks a little bit more impossible. And so the cool thing on this trip was, when you get, man, probably at least 50 people to pray for each day, there are lots of things sandwiched in between things that you've already prayed for. So, you know, you pray for 8 people, all 8 people are healed, and then the 9th one comes with something that you've never prayed for, but your faith is rolling, you're seeing all kinds of new stuff, people are all around you, and it's like, well, okay, time to see that for the first time. And so you pray, and then it's just, wow, that one added to the list. And so then, you know, you just, authority just expands. And so something that was cool while we were in these villages, we decided to go out, me and Justin and 2 other people. One of them spoke Spanish, which was nice. And we decided to go out and invite people to church. And so we went out, and we saw this, this older lady, I don't know, 60s maybe. And she had a cane, so it was kind of fun. You know, you see someone with a cane, and then you get all spiritual, and you think, you know, I think I'm getting a word for pain right there. There's got to be some mobility. Yes, Lord, okay. And so so we go, and we ask her if we can pray for her. And something I learned is our translators got very good at engaging somebody in conversation and building up, you know, 60 seconds rapport or so before they got into, you know, can I pray for you? And so, you know, our guy, he did that. And then they let us inside the gate past the barking dog, and we got to pray for her. But first, you know, she said, well, I have this plate and these pins in my hip, and you know, I can barely walk with this cane, and I have pain all day. So we like, okay, well, let's, you know, Justin and I, we look at each other, we're like, well, we hear metal dissolves, but we've never prayed for it, so this is a good time to do it. And so we, you know, we go through all that, and then when we have her stand up, she walks without the cane and decreased pain. So then we prayed again and no pain. So that was cool. The first time you get to pray for those things. And of course, they don't really have access to x-rays, so you don't really know what that metal did. But we just believe it's not there anymore. And so we'll bleed a little bit into the next 2 days. We got another opportunity to pray for somebody that had metal. But it's cool to see the authority over these things expand, that it's one thing to lay your hands and pray for somebody, but then when the Lord just gives you that confidence to just tell someone a testimony, and then that testimony heals somebody. And that's what we saw from the next one. We were just telling testimonies from the stage. Most of the time, Josh would ask each one of us to say something, and there was a guy in the back row who I ended up talking to afterwards who had scars on his ankles from a very recent surgery. He said he had pins and everything in it, pain of 8, you know, extreme stuff. and just telling that testimony of what we'd seen God do earlier in the week, he was healed from just the testimony. So it was awesome just to see the Lord go ahead of you like that, and then then you hear the story, and you're like, oh, that's what you were doing. So you get to catch up on the things that he's doing through you, and it's just amazingly bizarre the way that works.
When we were, where was it? I don't know. Like the night we were there, because we did the Sunday morning service, and then we did a night one out in Los Polaris. I can't say it very well. But which is like a camp-ish thing. Like a little village where people live, but to us it would be like camping, but like at its worst. Amen. And that's not like disrespectful. It's just to give you a picture of how it is. I mean, they have nothing. I mean, nothing. So we literally, I mean, they strung up like, some light strings, whatever, with like bulbs on them. So we had like four bulbs to light the night, which was cool. And then some chairs, and dirt. I mean, it's like there's no church. There's just outside. Okay. So that night it was kind of fun. We were all kind of like, we had prayed for what was it, like a third wind to come, because I think we had all hit a lot of walls that day. And so we were tired and we were just, and then somehow we got our energy. And so the music started, and there's this guy that, sings mariachi, but he does it like for God now, or as always. I don't know the story because I can't understand him. Mm-hmm. It was like a carousel at times. John and Justin and I, we kind of acted it out a lot.
In all respectfulness, of course.
We were so respectful. But no, we were not very nice sometimes. But no, this guy, like, he's really good mariachi, right? We don't have a clue what he's saying, but he's singing about God. So we're like, yeah, okay. And so immediately, like, when I go other places, I flock to the kids. Like, last year I flocked to some of the kids in Mexico, and this year it was, like, 10 times worse. I mean, it's not bad, but it's, anyway. And so we get there, and I see all these kids sitting, like, in a little, like in the chairs, kind of like in the middle section. And so I went over there, and this guy was, someone was playing music, and so I decided, like, hey, I can't talk to them, but I can get their attention. So what did I do? I danced for them. And it wasn't, like, pretty dancing. It was more like a, you just, like, make a fool of yourself. And so that gets their attention. And then they end up laughing at you, and then they want you to do more, And, like, it's just a way to, like, show them that you can be real with them. You get on their level. And so they ended up it was like I had a magnet, and they all were like, whoosh, and then I recruited, or some, they came over, and John did a little dance for him too, which was really pretty. And then Justin, this was before Justin was crippled, and he had some fun too. But the reason I tell you this is because these kids, they aren't used to getting attention. In that culture, the parents are busy working, cleaning, cooking. I don't know what they're doing, but the kids don't get attention, usually. I mean, most families, they just, like, send the kids off, and they go play or do something. And these are little kids. And I had this one little girl. She was, two or three? Anyway, she was my little buddy. She was, like, we did, like, a fire tunnel, and she was, like, attached to me and throwing herself around, like, wouldn't let go. And I was like, yeah, bless you. And she's, like, flopping all over the place. But it was so fun because she just loved me, and I loved her. And but one of the moms, I guess, told Roxy, one of the girls that was with us, she said, is that lady a teacher? And she said, no, I don't think so. She said, why? And she said, well, because she gave our kids attention. She said, no one's ever given our kids attention like that, and the kids have never responded to anyone like that, like they did to all of us, not just me, but like, and especially there's this one girl that had a skin issue. She had something going on with her face. Clearly. I mean, and the mom said, she said, no one's ever given her daughter attention. It's like they didn't want to get close to her. And I was like buddy with this girl that night. I mean, just like, she was everywhere I went, And I sat with her and I talked to her, and she kind of helped me translate a little, like she was trying to help me out because she understood. But to those moms, this was like, I can't even explain it. But it meant the world to them that somebody loved their kids, because usually the kids get put in the back And no, when people come in, there's like, shh, sit down, go be quiet, go do something. No one ever includes them. And so that was huge for them because, like, we actually engaged them and got them up there dancing. I mean, by the third night, we were all, like, having a party during worship. And, you know, they helped do, like, a little tunnel during worship. And it was just so cool. Like, we turned the tables. You know, they were the ones doing the tunnel for all of us. And, like, it was really fun. But that stood out to me because these kids, they needed love. And, like, I see my kids. I mean, they get so spoiled compared to these other ones, you know. And we think if we ignore them for, like, 20 minutes, oh, poor babies. These kids can go days and probably not have anyone tell them they love them or hug them. And so, I'm sorry I'm going on forever. But that, like, really, like, it was special. Because, you know, like, we just realized how spoiled we are here. And, yeah, I get emotional about it. But what was I going to tell you? Them? I don't know. The mariachi guy was cool, too.
All three services?
All three. Okay,
all
just
20, all 20 minutes long.
Can I just... Okay. Okay. One more thing. So we're there a few times, right? We did the morning service, and then we did three other ones, different nights. And so, you know, we... You know, the first night was really fun. People were engaged. People were getting healed, yada, yada, yada. And then night two, we hit a wall. And it was not pretty. I mean, like, it was just not very fun, you know? The kids were super loud, and they were, like, distracting, and the parents couldn't hear. And there was a different pastor there and mariachi guy. And everybody wanted it done their way. You know, I mean, they wanted, they didn't want us up dancing with the kids. The pastor of that specific area did, but the other ones that came in, they did not want us doing that. I mean, they got mad when we were dancing to the mariachi guy. Okay. Yeah, they pretty much said from the mic, please sit down, I want to sing for you. Like, they did not want us engaging. They were upset that the kids were having fun because, you know, they thought it was distracting. And so we kind of were like, okay, you know, and we didn't take very nicely to it because we're like, okay. And so they had, like, these different people that wanted everything done their own way. You have, like, the old school, then you have, like, the one wanting to go new school. You got kind of one just kind of wanting to put on a concert for everyone. We don't really know where he fit still, I don't think. But he was, like, a guest for us. I don't know, which was really nice. But when it came down to it, like, they all wanted their own way, and nobody could just focus. You know how it is? Like, and we can relate it back here all you want. But, you know, like, we all kind of have our idea of how services should go. And what we want. And if the music's not right, we just, like, withdraw, you know. And there was just a lot of that, and we could sense it. A lot of friction that night, and it didn't go very well. I mean, it was just kind of a, you know, we hit a wall. But I got messages and texts from people, which I found out later because I didn't have service. But I know many of you and people from here were praying and interceding for us that day and a couple days before. And I had messages saying, like, hey, I really felt like we need to be praying for you and all this stuff. So we go into Wednesday night, and we're all like, okay, we had a strategy. You know, like the girls, we all took the kids to a house across the street. So check, kids, done, you know, and Tony sometimes. But, you know, like, and so we separated them. We gave them attention, you know, and then the adults had their time. And Jose and Gary did a message, and Josh broke the podium, I hear. I guess that was funny. I wasn't over there for it, but he was leaning on it like full throttle, and it broke. So, do you want to act it out? Let's act it out. Let's. No? Okay. Just kidding. But no, but like, you know, so things went really well that night. And we could tell it's because the Pastor Francisco, the leader of the church, I don't know why I'm doing this, like he's sitting here. He took charge and he said, we're doing this the way that God wants us to do it. You know, he allowed children to be involved in worship and he allowed us to dance and have fun. And like, you know, worship was the key. And the worship didn't change every night. It's the expectancy. So the pastor, like, took his role as pastor and said, we're doing this way, you know. And when everyone was on board with doing it the way the Holy Spirit was leading, that's when things shifted. Because when everyone was wanting their own thing, everything was just falling apart. I mean, we were all just like, oh. You know how you just, like, have those ministry times where it's like, we got nothing. We could have just gone, you know. But we came back, and God prepared the way for us. The pastor said he saw the way being prepared for us. And God said something along the lines. He told him. He said, I heard God say, I am. Like, I've got this for you, you know. So that's the testimony, is that, you know, like, when you focus on God, and everyone, it doesn't matter what we all want. But when we were focused on the Holy Spirit and what he wanted to do, that's when the breakthrough came. And so that stood out because, hello, I mean, who can't relate to that? So.
And one thing before that third night service, we actually prepared lunch for the leaders of the church and the pastor, and we kind of had just a sit down kind of conversation with them. We just kind of poured out what God has been pouring into us for them, and you know, so I mean, we gave them some prophetic words. We just prayed for them, and you know, we basically just told them what we felt and what we thought needed to happen. And I think part of that was just kind of the beginning of the light going off in their head. And, you know, the Holy Spirit just opening their eyes and just seeing the fruit of those first two nights really manifest in that last night was just really, really good. It was very beneficial.
You know, there's so many things that happen in all of this when some group's doing this and other group's doing that. And some of these stories are kind of new, you know, to us because we don't all talk about them, share them all, because there's just so much going on. And that particular night, in that place, we felt there was there's just a spirit of heaviness over that whole area, especially that camp we were at, the one they're talking about. And I didn't know you all were praying for us. And you were waking in the middle of the night, somebody here? Barb, were you? Somebody was? No? She's not here. Okay, so that was going on. We didn't know that. But we kind of warred, some of us warred against that place. We marched through that camp where we were going to have that service, and we declared things, and we thought, we're not going to let you have this place. We took that place that night, and it was an activation. We actually did. And then we walked out, and we prayed and talked and shared as Josh and I and Jose walked out there, and what we're going to do. And I was going to actually speak, and really, there was a time when at one point I said, Jose is speaking. Jose is going to speak, remember? And we just laid hands on Jose, and the Holy Spirit just started talking to us right then. But things broke. That was the breaking that night. That place was broken. We had the leaders line up. We recognized the leaders. We laid hands on the leaders, the men of the church, the women of the church. We acknowledged them because they don't even feel like leaders, a lot of them. But we acknowledge that, and the Holy Spirit moved there too, and to where the people saw, here's the leaders. We see them as leaders. God sees them as leaders, and there's an activation of leadership, and who are the leaders? And that happened there that night too. There are so many things that happen. It's just overwhelming. I don't even know how you put it all together, you know. There's people, and I'll just give you a little one I was going to share. We were in actually a church building that Sunday morning, I don't even know what day it was. Anyway, we were in a church, and there was everybody was getting healed and people getting hands laid on. And I'm saying everybody, when somebody came up to get healed, God touched them, and they did get healed. And things in their lives were broken off. But there was a daughter and a husband and a wife, and I'm seeing them here, and another daughter were sitting here, stone face, just... You know, and I thought, you know, they've not got up out of their seats, and we've not gone back to them. So to make a long story short, I went back with somebody, one of the translators, and we started talking to him and talking about his the man, because the men need to be healed. The men are kind of macho men, you know, and they fear. I think sometimes some of them do, not all of them, but there's a fear there of allowing God to move or opening up. Anyway, make a long story short again, by the time we got done with this guy, he's crying, his wife's crying because he's crying, the kids are crying, God melted that family. They came back again some other time and all that, and you could see the change in their life. God changed their life, and he did it through the fact that he was seeing God move. See, if God wouldn't have been moving, we went back there, it would have been, who are you talking about, God who, you know. But God moves, and he started doing things, and people... They see that, and they know by what's going on. This is God. You can't make this stuff up, you know. You just can't do these things. God was moving. It was powerful. But here's Mariachi Man. Yeah. A little bit of Mariachi Man. Yeah. And he's singing. And he's saying wonderful things, I'm sure, but we didn't understand him, and they did. And he did that for four songs each time, and it was like everybody kind of was sitting just like you're doing, and And, you know, I thought, you know, God's, you got to, and I thought negative things about him at first. I thought, gee whiz, it's the old Mariachi Man show, and he's just kind of come on, and let's get the worship going, right? And we all kind of felt that. So when we kind of were a little bit out of hand, I think, the first few nights, but the last night we weren't, and we respected what he did. And I thought, God, I got a word for this guy the first night, but I didn't know how to say it. And the second night I had another word. I thought, somehow you got to help me say this. Well, the last night we were there, I took him after we prophesied to probably the whole church, I think, that night. And I thought, I kept looking over my shoulder so he didn't leave. I thought, because somebody was going on a long time in front of me. I thought, man, I got to get this guy. I got to talk to this guy. So finally, I took us, one of us went with, and we talked to him, prophesied over him. And part of the prophecy was that that he would allow God to take what's inside of him and express it, you know, instead of just this kind of this thing. And that's how he was. He just so I said, you need to show, you know, just show the people what's going on in here, out here. So he kind of got done, and at the end, he was standing there holding his Bible, and he was doing his mariachi man thing. And I walked up to him, took his Bible away, and his hand went up. His voice had changed, and the people started changing, and you could feel it. Who said that? Timmy, did you?
Well, you said you started praying for the joy of the Lord.
Yeah, he just boom, and there he was. So Mr. Stoic became Mr. Excited Guy, you know, because he couldn't put his hand in his pocket. Guy wouldn't let it in. But, there's a breakthrough there for that guy, you know, and Mariachi Man is gonna do stuff, you know.
He was praying down a storm after that.
It's good to know that God has a sense of humor, because when Gary took his Bible, I just got expressive and threw his hand back and just backhanded me in the face. I was just standing there, not really paying attention. It's like, and the Lord hit me. And, you know, I'm just, you know, a word for all of you, and I'm just assuming we're all here for breakthrough, we're all here for more. And it's okay to get pushed by other people. It's okay to lean on other people. It's okay to ask for help. But you've got to make a step. And the first night, Josh calls up the team, and he looks at me, and he's like, I'll be back in a second. You have a word of knowledge. I do? Thanks for cluing me in. It's like, all right, push number one. Let's stretch a little bit, Justin.
That never happened to you before?
What? No, okay. I've definitely never had one, at least to my knowledge. And I've never had anybody hand me the mic and say, give a word of knowledge. Jesus loves you. Word of knowledge. And then when we are in Las Pilaras, I noticed a young lady in the back. And I just knew something was up, but I didn't know what it was. And you know, we're still working on the whole, like, what is Justin thinking? What is maybe God saying? Plus, it was a young female, and I was like, I just need some help to, like, break the ice. Like, I just feel like something was going on. And I just noticed she was pregnant, and I just felt like something's going on. Like, she has a lot of fear for the future, a lot of fear about the baby. She's uneasy. Like, she just needs peace. And so instead of, like, calling out some word of knowledge and, like, putting myself in a situation that I couldn't handle, I pulled Lisa aside, and I was like, Lisa, like, I don't know how to approach it. If you want breakthrough and you need help, it's totally cool to lean on other people. And Elias even encouraged me in that. She's like, yeah, like, let's go tag team this. Let's figure it out. When you go back to pray for her, like, I'll try to get a word too. And we'll just do this together. And, like, that's how you grow. So that was just really encouraging. So when you try to approach for breakthrough, like, you're going to run into things. But lean on other people. And I'll share a story about my leg here in a second or so. But my bro, right over here in the shorts, in the Ohio State polo, bro, what's going on with your elbow? Can I just ask that? Your wrist? Is it casted up right now? Like a hard cast? All right. A casted anointed. How long ago was it? Okay. Ooh. All right. Any pins? Any pins in it? Any pain right now? No? All right. Well, some of your buddies just want to, like, lay hands on his wrist and just extend a hand that way. And if nothing else, like, Jesus can dissolve caste.
Oh, no. Oh, crap, I'm laughing.
Here it comes. This, he found this anointing in day or two or three. This is how we know Jesus is working. But so in place of Justin, okay, here's what we're going to do. Now just put your arms. All right, so Jesus, just thank you for what you're doing right here. What's your name, buddy? Josiah. Yeah, Lord, thank you, Spirit, that you're just going after it right now. And we've seen this before, and we're going to see it again. So, Lord, thank you that your presence is on him right now in the name of Jesus. Just complete healing, and we claim that right now. The kingdom of heaven is coming down all over your body right now, and especially your wrist. And right now you're feeling the Spirit in a good way. Ooh, thank you, Spirit, for what you're doing there in that hand.
Well, our daddy loves us. Our daddy wants to see us whole, and we ask him to show up, and he does. So good stuff just happened right there. Yeah. So this little foot thing going on here, that was an adventure. It hurt just a little bit. It hurt a lot. And so we're going for breakthrough. I've perceived, I understand that the Lord wants to heal and he wants to give us the authority to heal. And, when you try to trace breakthrough, like it's not, don't be surprised if the enemy tries to attack you on that level of breakthrough. And so something that he could do and that I could have let happen is I could have let my personal circumstances hinder the authority that I have over healing. I could have let my personal circumstances change my attitude. I could have rolled an ankle that hurt really badly. And you know how, like, if the bottom of the mic is your leg and your foot should be here, like, it's supposed to go like this. And it was more like, hello. And so it wasn't really doing this anymore, but it was just kind of like, And there are some things that just didn't really feel good. And instead of expressing frustration for what happened, I don't know what it was, and it's a lot funnier when Timmy says what happened in the first 30 seconds. Timmy, do the Justin impression right here.
So we're on a NFL football field, and Justin's running 900 miles an hour, and he jumps 8 feet in the air to catch this frisbee, and he's running straight at this truck. Like, it looks bad. I'm like, what are you doing? Let the frisbee go.
I didn't want it to hit the truck.
Hit the truck. Could have really hurt that truck. It was already super beat. He jumps in the air to catch this thing, and like he had it, and then he looked at the truck and tried to adjust his speed while he was in the air, and dropped the frisbee, and his foot went right on the side of a curb, and it just went. And it stayed completely dislocated. I mean, it was pointed like that. He's like, oh. And he goes down, and immediately both of his hands go to his ankle. And anytime somebody rolls an ankle or has an injury and both your hands go to it, you know it's bad. And he goes, oh, it's bad. It's bad. I think it's broken. I think it's really broken.
Yeah.
I think it's broke. Nope, it's not. In Jesus' name, it is not broken. He goes, Jesus, Josh, come pray. I'm standing over him. I'm already hands on and praying, like, come on, Jesus, pop that thing right back in, you know. But I think it's broken. I mean, look at that. That's not pretty. Anyways, that was hilarious. I was like, he's in a lot of pain, and I'm trying not to laugh because he goes, oh, I think it's broken. No, it's not. In Jesus' name.
I see Josh off in the distance, and he's just looking at me. He's like, I'm serious. Come lay hands on it. But, you know, I'm just in that moment trying to figure out what's going on. And it's like, you know what? Why does it matter? Like, I could let an ankle stop me. I could let pain stop me. I could focus on the pain as we go from day to day, walking from place to place, trying to figure out what the Lord is doing. And instead of listening to my ankle pain, I can ask for the presence. I'm in the ambulance going to the first place, which, by the way, like Mexican painkillers, no picante. Like, it is not working. Like, one syringe, nope. Let's try number two. Mm-mm, sorry. We're going in a, I don't even know the name of the song, but the chorus, like, I'm a lover of your presence, and I'm just laying on the gurney, and I'm like, I'm just going to keep repeating this because my leg hurts really badly, and I would rather focus on Jesus than my leg pain. And we're in the first hospital, and the Lord blessed Josh, but he decided to talk with his hands, and at one point he smacked the bottom of my foot. Like, oh, Jesus, I love him right now in your name. But as we're going out, like, the only guy there that was speaking English puts me over on a gurney, starts to push me out, and he's like, dude, what are you doing here? It's like, well, you know, we're doing some missions work. Like, we're here just giving, like, prophetic words and, you know, like, healing. And he decides to give me this word about how, like, the Lord, out of obedience, like, through his pain on the cross, decided to continue in his obedience in the suffering. And he's like, man, like, he's like, I'm Christian too. I was like, whoa, dude, I just got rocked. Like, come on. Like, he's like, you can continue to be obedient. Basically, he's saying, like, you can continue to be obedient in your pain and do what the Lord has called you to do on this trip, like Jesus did, or you can focus on your pain. Like, oh, okay. Like, you win. Thanks, Jesus. So we get in the ambulance, and since he's already decided that we're Christian, we're headed to the rest of our 40-minute ride on Mexican roads as my floppy leg is going like this on the gurney, and we're just thanking Jesus for American roads that we can't wait to get back to. And he after the driver takes off, he does what he only flips on the siren. We get out of town, he flips it off, and he comes in the back, and he just starts sharing his testimony with me and Daniel. And he's talking about these guys that he's trying to bless, but they're, like, addicted to different drugs, and they're trying to get out of rehab, and how he's been trying to start a ministry and have a place for them and love on them, and it just seems like it's not working. And I can just hear in his heart, like, he's really holding himself to this standard. Like, he really just doesn't feel like God is proud of what he's doing. Like, he doesn't feel like the Father's love. Like, he's striving after things and just waiting to be rewarded improperly. And so, like, I'm just absorbing all this stuff as I'm sitting there with my eyes closed, breathing really slowly so that I don't freak out on my ankle pain. And we get done, and he comes into the ambulance as we get to the hospital and goes to drag me out. And I was like, dude, we're not going anywhere until I lay hands on you. And I got the opportunity just to bless him and say, like, your dad, like, your heavenly Father is so stinking proud of you right now. Like, he delighted in you before you started your ministry, just like Jesus. Like, Jesus, before he started his ministry, heavens opened, and he said, you are my beloved son, and I'm well pleased, and it had nothing to do with the standard of the merit of what you did. It has to do with your heart. And so before you even start your ministry, like, the Lord is proud of who you are. When you start ministering and you start to do things out of obedience, he is grinning all over you and is so pumped for you. And you can just see it touching him. And I get done praying for him, and he goes, you have no idea how long I've waited for somebody to tell me that. I was like, come on, broken ankle, get me in that ambulance again. Come on.
As Justin's on his way to Hermosillo from the coast, I'm driving the big 15-passenger van and weaving in and out of traffic. I'm going 95 on this Mexican road trying to catch up to this ambulance. Yeah. And so we're going down through downtown Hermosillo in this 15-passenger van. I got my hazards on, and I'm just on the tail of this ambulance, weaving in and out of traffic. I'm just laying on the horn, and we finally get to the hospital, and they open up the back of the ambulance door, and here I see Justin still on the gurney. And the medic guy is right over him, and Justin's reaching up. He has his hand on his chest, just laying hands on him, just praying. Just like, wow, that's incredible. That's incredible to see him doing that after what he's going through, you know. But he made the best of the situation, and just, you know, just really blessed this guy. But so, yeah, oh yeah, yeah. Yeah, he's a trooper with that thing. And in Kino, when we're at the beach, it's like right on the Sea of Cortez. I was honored, and you know, I thought it was pretty awesome that I was able to baptize 9 of the team members in the Sea of Cortez, which I thought was pretty awesome. And then I got to be baptized myself, and you know, that's just something you don't forget, and you don't have that opportunity all the time. We're like, why not? Why not?
It is the thing to do.
Yeah, we even baptized him with the cast on. So he's like, I want some of it. But I won't name names of the 2 guys of the 12 who did not get baptized. But, you know, they might be brothers. And but Justin had this cast on. And so, like, we're literally carrying him into the ocean. and like, we just... I mean, we have him up, and we dip him back in, and then we keep his leg up, and then we come back out. You know, that's just the type of hunger that this guy has. You know, I'm just proud to know him and have him a part of the team. And one testimony I really want to share besides that is when we were in Kino, when we were out in Los Pilares, Timmy, this guy had prayed for me, and he just, I don't know, he said something to the effect of just releasing the Peter's anointing. I was like, I really don't know what that means, but I receive it.
Tell him about the shadow thing. Tell him that testimony.
About Mexico City?
Right.
Okay. So when I was in Mexico City a couple years ago, I was in a park and I got to pray for somebody. And anyway, like I was praying, people were in lines, and I was just doing my thing. And then the other guy that was with me is from Russia. He was standing there praying, and he's like, you know what? I'm just going to take this guy into, because he wasn't seeing any breakthrough in the prayer. He goes, I'm going to take him and put him in Josh's shadow and to be healed. And sure enough, this guy's pain went from an 8 down to a 3 instantly when he was in my shadow. And then he just continued to pray, and God just totally healed him. So that's kind of a little background story to that, which it has nothing to do with my shadow, mind you. But... You know, it's just the anointing when it's flowing and it's going, it's just awesome. So Timmy just kind of prayed for that, and you know, and for the rest of that Peter anointing. So we're in that third service that third night, or we're in the fourth service the third night, and the leaders were coming up, and we're just praying for them. I just gave this lady a word, you know, like God prompted me that she had 2 sons, and I asked her if she had 2 sons. She's like, no, I got 5. It's like, ugh. I said, well, there's 2 of them you really have issues with, right? And she just starts sobbing. And I said, in fact, one of them, just within the last year, almost lost their life, right? And, she just, like, broke down. She's just like, yes, yes, yes. And I prayed a lot of wonderful things, I'm sure, after that. But then it got to the point where we were done. And, like, I have a translator, mind you. So I get to the point where I'm done, and God just prompted me that she had some pain and some issues in her legs. So I asked her, and she said, yeah, yeah, yeah. She said, basically from here down on both legs, it was like a 7 on a scale of 1 to 10, just numbness and tingling and just like a throbbing pain. Like, okay, well, we're going to pray for it. And I don't know why I've seen God do this a lot, but so God prompted me to have her take her shoes off. And so I asked her, I'm like, okay, I'm going to have you do something a little different here. Are you okay with that? And she goes, yeah. So I said, so I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to have you take your shoes off, okay? And then you're going to put your shoes back on, and God's going to heal you. In a nutshell. That's basically what I said. But when I told her, when I'm going through the prayer, and I tell her to take her shoes off, she just starts giggling. And then the lady behind her in line just starts giggling. I didn't think anything about it. I'm like, why? Like, why are they laughing when I ask her to take her shoes off? And so she took them off, and I said, okay. Like I was fully anticipating she's not going to get healed until she puts her shoes back on. And I said, so you still have your pain, right? And she goes, no. I said, what? She goes, no pain. I said, wait. I said, you're telling me you have no pain? And she goes, no. I'm like, that's incredible. That's incredible. So she put her, shoes back on. Great stuff. And then we get in the van on the way back, and I'm just sharing this testimony about how God did that. You know, God just really surprised me. And then Daniel, who was my translator, he goes, yeah, the ladies just started giggling because they heard you in Spanish. I said, what? He said, I didn't translate for her to take her shoes off. Both those ladies heard you speaking in Spanish when you were clearly speaking in English. He said, it threw me off because I'm sitting here thinking in my mind, I'm like, how did they know that? And he's like, because it kind of threw him off because he didn't translate. He's like, there's no way. He goes, but I mean, that's awesome. That's awesome. And you know, just, I mean, with I had no anticipation of that, really. And God just did it. You know, so then for the rest of the trip, I'm just believing for that the whole time. Anything else from Kino? Yeah.
So you all know at Pentecost, Peter, he spoke and everyone understood them in their own language. So that was kind of the thing, because Josh was standing there while Jose, me and Josh, we were both standing there while Jose was sharing. And Josh had been talking about this the whole trip, and he was just like, he's like, man, God, just give me that anointing so they can just hear what I'm saying, like no translator. And it just hit me, like the only thing I remember in scripture is about that happening is Peter. So I just, you know, Peter anointing in Jesus' name, get him, God. And it happened. It was just crazy. But anyways, there was towards the end of the service, this is actually while Josh was praying for that lady to take off her shoes and all that. Like, I didn't even hear that until afterwards because I was prophesying to somebody else. But there was a guy standing in the back, and actually, before that, before I noticed him, I had a word of knowledge for somebody with like a headache, like a really bad head pain, and they handed me the mic, and I was gonna say it, and all of a sudden I look over at this guy, and I was like, you in the back there, come up here, and the translator said it, and the guy was kind of like taken back, and he came up front, and I started. You know, just giving him a word, and God was telling me like all the thing, like just a bunch of stuff that he was going through, and I just started just saying, like, I mean, really stepping out, saying things like, if you're wrong, like they could be highly, highly offended, and he just melted. I mean, it was spot on, just about like his addictions and some of the problems that he was going through. And he just melted, and he ended up giving his heart back to the Lord, and he just was just completely filled with joy. And then he tells the translator, he's like, yeah, and I had a really bad headache before you guys prayed for me, and now it's gone. And so it's like, that's one of those almost at the same time, like people are just like getting healed, like even like without praying for it, you know. And that just showed me, like, addressing somebody's spiritual needs is the most important thing. It's the most important thing. And when you get those things in order, the physical stuff is like, it's like icing on the cake, you know. And God loves to do it. And anyways, that's super cool. But oh yeah, he was actually laying in bed. And he was laying there, and he couldn't go to sleep. And he said he felt like he heard God tell him that he needed to come to the church service. He was super high, like just blasted out of his mind. And when he showed up, and he just couldn't go to sleep, which is really odd because normally that makes you sleepy. So, like, it was just crazy that, like, he couldn't go to sleep, but he couldn't get that out of his head that he needed to go there. And he's standing, like, all the way in the back, like, not even anywhere close. And, like, God just highlighted him, and I was like, you, get up here. And I didn't even know what I was going to say, you know. I felt really prompted that the Lord wanted to change his life. And I told him that he'd been running from the Lord for a long time, and that he had addictions, and it was causing problems in his family life. And I was, you know, giving him details about that. Come to find out, he was a believer, but for like the last 5 years, he had just been just heavily addicted to just alcohol and drugs, et cetera. And it was just incredible to see that transformation happen, and then he got healed during that, you know. So that was super cool.
That's one of the three nights in Keno, given was praying and giving words and stuff, and Gary come up to him and he says, "Let's go prophesy to that guy over there." I looked at him and I thought, "I don't have anything." He said, "Well, come on." He said, "By the time you get there, you'll have something." And I thought, "Yeah, I'm new to this," and I'm like, "All right, sure, why not?" So I walk over there. I no more than put my hand on the guy's shoulder, and there it was, and prophesied to him. So.
So with Dave. With Dave's permission, we have an activation. It's going to be called the Dave. And you're going to be asked if you have any words. And if the answer is no, then you have to come up front and give it, because you're going to get the words. So that is going to become the Dave activation.
So the first night we were there in Keno, or Las Polaris, which, okay, let me just add something on to what, who was just speaking? Before that, about the guy who was in bed and came. Okay, getting there is not like getting out of your car and going down the road. This is like getting out of your car, driving a long way, and then getting on this road that is nonstop giant holes, okay? So it's not like, oh, we're just driving. It's like a whoosh and a whoosh and a whoosh, you know? Like, you have to actually, like, really, and there's no way around it. Like, it's just awful. So this guy got out of bed and got on this road that takes forever to get down, which here would take us like 10 minutes, and there it took
hour and 15 minutes.
3 hours in Timmy's mind. we fought about it a little bit. Anyway, so that was a big deal that guy got out of bed and was high and made it there. It's another thing. But anyway, okay. So when we were there the first night, we were there and it was like, you know, doing our thing, and Gary was speaking, and then like, I think it was John and Justin, looked over and noticed this kid who, how old was he, like 10, 12, you know. They just kind of were like, "Hey, what are you thinking about this kid?" And I told him, "I don't know," because he was doing some twitching, and I said, it looks like autistic, possibly. You could just tell, you know, he had some stuff going on. I said, "I think he's probably in the spectrum, you know." And so we all kind of started just kind of, you know, he was highlighted, so we kind of narrowed in on him and prayed about it, let it go a little bit, and Gary's speaking, and we look over, and this, here, somebody acted out for me. What was he doing? Yeah. I mean, he's putting his, for anyone listening, he's putting his fingers in his ears and kind of like, I mean, he's not liking it, okay? So when Gary speaks, right, the kid's putting his fingers in his ears. When she would translate to Spanish, he would do that. The scriptures. So this kid was like, something was going on. And so we quickly felt like there was a spirit attached to him, like a, you know, demonic, you know, spirit. Which, I mean, not every, that's one other thing, but, you know, just because you're autistic doesn't mean you have a demon. But we could definitely sense that there was something different with this kid. And it proceeded. Do you want to act this out too?
Yeah.
Come on, buddy. This is what happened during the service. Like, Gary's right here speaking, and the kid's right here. Yeah, so try paying attention while this is going on. And not, you can sit down now. and not only is he doing that, yeah, thank you. Not only is he doing that, but he's spitting. And he walked over and grabbed my bottle of water that had, like, the flavor stuff in it and proceeded to drink it. And I was like, good thing I wasn't thirsty out here in the middle of nowhere. And then, he proceeds to go grab Dave's Coke.
Bad move.
you don't take Dave's Coke or Pepsi from him, okay? Like, this man needs his Coke. And so, I was sitting right next to him, so I laughed so much on this trip. But, I mean, Dave's like, no. Like, you're not taking that from me, you know? Anyway, that's the side note. But the kid won. And, And I tried giving the kid a bottle of water. I was like, here, take this instead. And instead he took both. So we had a Coke and a water, and then and my other water. And so we're thinking, what is the deal, you know? So anyway, for that night, we went out and we all prayed about it. We prayed over him. Gary prayed over him. And the parents were kind of not happy. And we're like, what's going on? You said we could pray for him. And there was a lot of communication breakdowns between the couple themselves. Like, they weren't being completely honest with each other about things going on. And then, you know, with us. And there's just a lot of weird stuff going on there. So we were like, okay. So we came back the next night, right? Yeah. And we had all discussed this as a team, like how we should handle it. And Josh asked my opinion, and, you know, and we moved on. And we all kind of gave our input. And we decided that, well, he decided. And he came and grabbed me and took me and Jose over there. And so me, Josh, and Joe prayed for the couple privately in the back the next night. And because we had just been praying and feeling, we just felt like there was some stuff between them that needed to go on before healing could take place. And so Josh said, you know, I just feel like they need to hug. And so before we would pray for them, he made them hug. And so they did this. You know, you put your arm around your spouse. And Joe started to pray, and Josh goes, no, they need to hug. And he made them, like, embrace. Because there's a whole other level of, like, intimacy when you actually embrace. You have to be close, right? And so so they did that, and then I started off and kind of did, like, prophetic prayer over them, very prophetic prayer. And then the kid starts doing his thing. He comes in, and I'm, like, praying with his parents right here, you know, and I'm like, la, la, la. And then he comes in, and he weaves his way in between. He's shoving me out, and I'm like, God help him, you know, like, doing this. And, like, Joe's over here, and Josh is looking at me like, I don't know, you know. And so he's, like, trying to really get in there. And then Joe kind of gave him a look, and which Joe admitted, I didn't see it. And I prayed peace. I put my hand on his head, and I said, just peace. And then the kid just, like, walked away. And I was like, okay, that was kind of cool. And so we got to finish praying with them, but we broke off a lot of stuff, you know, like some curses that the mom had felt like she took on, and just a lot of spiritual gunk they had picked up because they thought that it was their fault, like they were being punished for things that they had done. And the other kid, they have another sibling of that child, and he was starting to kind of act funny, you know. And so they were taking a lot on, and there's, like, a lot of spiritual stuff, witchcraft, you know, just lots of stuff out there. And so I prayed and just kind of broke some stuff and got the opportunity to do that, and Josh and Joe prayed over him. You know, it's just, like, a really good thing that came out of it, and they were just crying. I mean, this guy is, like, the stoic, tough man of the house. I mean, like, he would scare you. Like, he was just very, you know. And so you can't read him at all. And so to see him, I mean, he was crying, and he just melted down, and he just softened. And you could tell that it got through finally, because they were just not happy people. You know, it just was really sad. And then, I mean, I could tell a little bit of a difference in the kid the next time I was around him. You know, he just seemed a lot more calm. But so that was a really different experience, just praying over people that had that. But also, it was up to, like, it was good for Josh as team leader to acknowledge, like, something needs to change within them, you know, as a couple, before, because we had to, like, explain, like, we're not the fixers, you know, you guys have to do this. And so Josh used his discernment in saying, like, we need to make sure they hug and make sure they do things, you know, because there's so much more besides just praying over someone, breaking stuff, and boom, they're all good, you know. It was a team effort, and Josh picking up on that aspect of it, and then me doing my part and Joe doing his part. It was a team thing, but I think there was definite breakthrough there by the time we were done.
So we're through 4 days at this point. And then after, so Wednesday morning we get up and we go to Urez, and which is a church that we were at last year, which is just an incredible church. But so we're going to go with Urez right now.
When we started out, I'm going to go back real quick, one sentence. We went to Keno, had a church building, good. We spent 3 days, or 4 services on dirt. Now we get to go back to a church, which was good. It had 4 walls, yeah, and kind of a roof, a couple pews, and that was it. But we were heading towards getting kind of looking like a church building, but that was it. And I don't remember the sequence here, but we were, three of us, Josh, myself, and Pastor Alejo, were walking towards a little construction site. He knew the guy as a relative or not, and the young guy. There's an older guy and a young guy that were there. And we walked up, and there was a comment made after we did all this that, and I'm not going to say the word angelic, but there was a presence they felt when we were coming up. We didn't feel that, but they did when we walked down the street and turned to where they were at. And they kind of just could sense that something's happening. So this young guy, he wasn't a Christian. The dad or the uncle or whoever he was, and they wanted us to pray for him. So, and here's kind of how these things go. So we walked up. Said whatever we said. I remember what we said, and I asked him if his, we didn't have a translator by this time, and I asked if his wrist was hurting, and he put his arm down, and I went, okay, so that wasn't working, you know, and he goes, yeah, his wrist is hurting. I went, oh, so we just prayed God heal his wrist, and sure enough, he's going, oh yeah, wow, yeah, well within the time we pulled up and started talking. Less than 2 minutes had, I think, gone by, and this young man got saved because of these simple things. It's such a simple thing, you know, simple thing. And that was the beginning of many, many. We've got many here in this town that got touched by God and healed and saved.
Yes. Pastor Lego.
He's got it.
Oh, I
haven't
seen it.
So when you ask the Lord to use you, sometimes he does, and it's not fun, right, John? So I'm Justin, and I don't sing in public, and this is John, and he doesn't play guitar in front of churches, and we led worship.
And I've done a little bit of singing and a little bit of guitar, never in front of a church, and never both together. So,
in a matter of like 15 minutes, we'll just give you all a good giggle here as the Lord decided to use us in a way neither of us, well, I didn't really want to be stretched that far that night. Sometimes I literally got stretched till I tore, and other times it was more figurative. in like 10 minutes, we wrote down chords and lyrics on pieces of notebook paper. We wrote some of the chords down incorrectly. Which really helped when John would play the guitar, and I had no idea what note I was supposed to be singing. At one point, I just like put the mic down. I was like, just act spiritual. Just like, just receiving. Just come, Holy Spirit. I don't know the lyrics. And then we get to the end, and John starts beatboxing. He starts beatboxing into the mic.
I couldn't figure out the strum pattern to the music we were playing on the guitar, so I figured it would make more sense if I took the mic off the stand and beatboxed to it.
Demonstrate, please.
Go, please.
It gets better because he was doing that and allowing me to try to figure out the chorus of "Blessed Be Your Name." He just totally left me hanging. And then when the song gets done, he's like, we should just keep going. Let's just do the old standby. Just do Your Love Is Sweeter Than Honey. What the heck is the old standby? He says it in the mic, and I'm just like, what's the old standby? Just like looking. Mexicans are just loving the Lord, and I'm like, I'm so uncomfortable. I don't know what to do.
Tell him what you said. Tell him to sing in the spell what you said.
What? I was like, I'm past my stretching. I just write in the mic, I'm past my stretching point.
Yeah, so the whole time, since obviously none of them knew English, so while we were singing and in between songs, we were just talking about our uncomfortability to each other in the mics because like they don't know what we're saying. So we're like, I don't think we did that. No, we definitely did that wrong. Let's try this next one. And so we get to the end, and I was just, you know, really feeling the spirit or adrenaline or something. And I was like, Justin, just sing in the spirit. I'll play. And so I start playing, and he's like, John, I don't know what chords you're playing. I'm going, jump in, come on, jump in.
He's making and up then, the chords as he goes, and he wants me to sing a tone to him, and I don't know what he's going to play next.
And that's when he looked at me very seriously and said, John, in front of everybody. It was like a couple fighting in front of everybody. It was so good. He looks at me and goes,
Yeah.
I'm jamming everyone else, and Justin goes, John, I am way past my stretching point. With the mic in hand and everything, like none of this. I'm way past my stretching point, John. I said, okay, then this is where we keep going.
Oh, wrap up the night. Josh, I'm going
to what? Oh, yeah. Yeah, this night, actually, eight guys ended up getting saved. And so I really hadn't quite decided on what I was going to share on. And to the way there, God kind of prompted me, you know, like, let's give Timmy a shot here and let's see what he's going to share. And so, like, when we get there, I kind of talk to him a little bit and just say, hey, just, you know, how do you feel about it? He's like, I'm like, tell you what, you just let me know. Otherwise, I mean, like, I had a message that, I mean, I still ended up sharing it, I think, didn't I? Yeah, I did. And anyway, so I come back to look for John and Justin. I had no idea where they were, what they were doing, and they're practicing, they're throwing everything together, and here comes Timmy back around. And he goes, I got it. I'm like, okay. So, long story short, Timmy gets up there, just shares his testimony, and you know, just, you know, like, he really believed that, you know, people were there and ready to receive Christ, and sure enough, eight guys stood up, came to the front. We just prayed, and you know, it was just incredible. I mean, like, we had some of the guys go. I mean, like, were they all guys?
Yeah,
they're all guys. And so, like, that day, you know, just nine guys got saved. You know, it's just, you know, it was incredible. You know, we had, I mean, like, we had people going out in the Spirit, and it was cool. We had one guy that, which is kind of like a little personal testimony of mine. When we were there last year, apparently I gave him a prophetic word, and like, he hadn't been back to that church since. And he just decided to come back that Wednesday night. He goes, I haven't been back to the church since, you know, but he comes back and we're there. You know, it's the first time we'd been back since. You know, so, like, you know, so God just totally rocking him as soon as he comes in. And, you know, I noticed him in the back, but I didn't recognize him, just, like, worshiping, like, hardcore worshiping. And you know, like he went out a few times for several minutes at a time. I'm just out hardcore. And, you know, and he got to share with me that some of the prophetic words given to him a year ago, he's starting to see the fruits of that, and he's starting to see that come to pass. I'm like, that, I mean, like, that's incredible. And what else was there? Oh yeah, Pastor Alejo. So apparently he was confused, the main pastor of that church, he was confused about the schedule, and he thought we were coming on the Monday night. Well, when we didn't come Monday night, he just thought the team wasn't coming, period. So when they had church Wednesday night, he, you know, like he had told his friend beforehand, he goes, because I don't think I'm going to share tonight. And he's like, well, you better prepare something, because you're going to have to share. He's like, I'm not really sure I am. So then, you know, then we show up, and, you know, and then, like, we have the message. You know, it's kind of cool to see God work in all the angles. On that night, three of us slept in a van. Others slept in church because we couldn't get a hotel room because, you know, they weren't really prepared. The manager of the hotel was out of town. And, you know, so, you know, like, we had a lot of different experiences we really didn't anticipate on. You guys have anything else from yours? Yeah.
I like to be humorous. So Guillermo was the name of the guy who was there the year before. And I see, like, God's got him down on the ground for, like, 20 minutes, and he's just going crazy in tongues and jerking all over the place. I'm like, I'm going to get a little bit of this. So, just, like, mosey on over next to him, get my leg real close. And he's out in the Spirit, and he starts rubbing my cast. And I'm like, yeah, I'm getting healed. Come on, cast, disappear. So then he gets up, and I ask him to pray for me, and he wipes me out. And then, like, I get done giggling. I did a lot of laughing this trip. I get done laughing hysterically, and I look up at him, and he's stomping on my cast, like, pointing at it. I'm like, yes, it's going to break. It didn't break.
This was a little learning point for me is, you know, sometimes when you hear about prophetic words, and then when you look at somebody and you only get maybe literally one or two words, not like thoughts, but just one or two words, and then you can either sit there waiting, okay, God, what's the rest? And you don't get anything.
And you're like, well, I guess, you know, that must have been me. But then to see that, you know, when you get those things, it's awesome to see God stretch that, because there was a couple of instances, one specifically at Ura's, where God gives you one or two words. You know, I'm standing in the front, and I see these two guys in the front sitting down. And all the Lord told me was to ask them if they knew why their hearts were beating. And that's all I had. I didn't know what to do. You know, they could have said, no, they're not beating. It's like, okay, just kidding. So, but I'm asking, okay, Lord, what's next? And he said, just go ask them. And that's the cool thing about when the Lord gives you that word or two, the idea is to just go do it, and then he'll build on it. And it's a really fun process. So I go up, and the Lord just said, do it confidently. So, you know, don't ask them, but just go up and say, so do you guys know why your hearts are beating really fast? And they go, no, we don't. And, you know, so I had a little ring around the posy score. I was pretty excited. And so then I came to my senses again. I said, okay, spiritual moment. It's because Jesus wants to give you something. He really wants to give you something. That's why your heart's beating. Something's about to happen. And then so they were able to rededicate their lives to Christ, and they received the Holy Spirit. And it was an exciting thing. So all that just to say, when you get those only one word or two, part of that, it could be because the Lord wants to grow you and do something in you even more than he does in the other person. So you just stepping out and saying one or two words, believing that more will come. You know, sometimes the paragraph comes just one or two words at a time. So that's pretty fun.
And after we wrapped up there in the morning, we headed up towards the border. We stayed a little town called Naco. And so Knocker, Jesus help me. Naco is literally it is the border town. So we went up there and we had two services there. We got through some street ministry there as well. That was incredible. If you guys, so we made up these signs. We brought them with us. This is the first time we got to use them. They were two-sided. One said free spiritual readings. The other one said free healings and miracles. So we only had an hour, and because we couldn't get through the border because of paperwork issue, it delayed us about an hour and a half. And so we had about an hour window where we could do some ministry, and this is going to be our only opportunity that we could do it. I'm like, we're doing it. And the team wanted to do it, so we just hopped on it. So we grabbed those signs. We started walking downtown, and we only did this for an hour. We only did it for an hour, 60 minutes. Four people got saved in 60 minutes. You know, yeah, which there's a whole, you know, God's still transforming my mind when it comes to that. But, you know, you can't argue with the results. You have four people just experience God in such a way that they want to give their heart to him. And, you know, that's the thing that stands out most to me in Naco. Do any of you want to touch on the street evangelism?
So, the first lady that got saved was one of the Spanish girls ministered to her, and it was all in Spanish. There was no, like, interpreter or anything. It was kind of an intimate moment or whatever. So, like, we don't really know exactly what happened, but she ended up getting saved or something. Her son had just died or something. She was going through a lot of, like, emotional stuff, and she just really got loved on, and it was really cool. But we're out there for a while, and we're giving people prophetic words and praying for healing and all kinds of stuff. And we weren't seeing like a lot of stuff happen, but we just kept pressing in. And then it was time to go back, and we're like a block away from where we were headed, and we're still walking, holding these signs. And there's these three guys on the corner, and the one guy was like, "Hey." And he just was like smiling, and he looked at us, and he read the signs, and he was like, you know, come over. So we went over there, and Lisa did a great job the whole trip, leading out in prophetic words, and to the ones that are activated in the prophetic gift, like, you know how valuable it is to follow somebody that has been using the gift
that God's given them for a while, a seasoned prophet. It's beautiful. And she let out, and he was just getting choked up, like swallowing really hard. You know, you could tell the Lord was really touching him. And I tapped her on the shoulder, like, you know, whenever you're done, I'm ready. And I just started giving this guy, like, I shared this with some people, but like, this is probably the most like intense prophetic word I've ever given anyone. I told the guy how old he was, and then I told him that he was a gangster a while back, but he's not anymore, because he suffered a loss, like a family member or like his best friend or somebody died. And so he got out, and he used to be a big time partier and rager and liked to get in fights and would just wreck people and all this stuff. And he's smiling, and he's Jose's translating, and he goes, how did he know that? You know, and like, I mean, God was just touching him. And then I just started to minister to his spiritual needs, and I mean, the guy was just, he was completely rocked, just hearing all these things, you know, from a complete stranger. You know, he's sweating, just pouring sweat. It's not hot out. He is just pouring sweat. The Holy Spirit was just touching him. And when I asked him if he wanted to receive Jesus, he was just like, yeah. Like, there was no, you know, nine-minute altar call. Like, it was none of that. Like, he wanted it so bad because he realized that God was real. And that was just incredible. And he ended up getting saved. And his two buddies were sitting there watching. We called them over. They both got saved. The one kid had an ankle that had been sprained. It was all wrapped up. We prayed for him twice. God healed him. Done. He's walking around with this look on his face like, what is going on? Like, he was completely in dismay. While he was praying to get saved, like, he was saying, like, half the words. He was, like, looking at us like, who are you guys, you know? But it was just, it was amazing. And then there was other guys there, and we started calling them over, you know. We were going to get them all. And the one guy, he just took off. He just took off. And the one guy that just got saved ran after him, you know. I was like, get him, in Jesus' name. And anyways, it was super cool. I mean, in the matter of 15 minutes, you know, three guys gave their hearts to the Lord. And Josh and several other guys had actually pulled up in the van, like we were late. They were pulled up in the van, and they were sitting right at the stop sign, like watching all this. Every once in a while, I'd look back, and Josh was like, get him. It was so cool, though. And John gave him a prophetic word. It was just money. Jose ministered. Like, they were just getting loved on, just so amazing. And I guess, like, one thing that I really took away from that, and Gary touched on it, is that when you have somebody that asks you for, like what's going on, like the hunger is stirred up in them and they ask you, God speaks so loudly for that person because of them stepping out instead of pursuing people. And, you know, not that he can't speak in those situations, but it just seemed like if somebody asks, they're going to receive, and God's going to be faithful to speak the words to the spirit-filled believer to give a life. You know, and it was, that really stood out to me, and Gary pointed that out too, and it's incredible. But anyways.
Amen. Thank you, Timmy. These guys are awesome guys, you know, and you know what, they're telling you, there's things we haven't told you, but every place we went, we laid hands on people in between all this stuff, they were healed. You know, there's things going on I didn't know about, and there's things I'm sure I'm going on where I was at, they didn't know about, but God, it just, yeah. So anybody in this room that said, I got to have a healing or a word of knowledge for something, it happened. So there's tons of stuff that happened here. You're just hearing a little bit of it, really. Some of the funny stuff and the good stuff, too, but it was amazing. So there's another thing, too, that I think you need to know this. I don't even remember what time we were in. there's some ladies in the front row. Maybe it was Naco. Ladies in the seats. And they wanted to know who had the power, you know, or in one other way, they wanted to know who had the juice, who's got the juice, who's got, of all of us, who's got the juice, you know. And, you know, I told her, I says, we all have the juice. We all have the juice. And the other part is you all have the juice. You know, you don't have to go to Mexico, but you do have to do one thing. You have to step out and let the juice out, you know. So you got it. You all got it. We all got it. And we experienced letting it out, which is powerful. But that's the deal. The whole deal is you got to let it out, you know. And you got to do the Dave, you know. And it's because when that starts happening, power happens. God happens. He can come down. Yeah, boom. And things happen. Well, Josh has, there's a ton more, guys. There's tons more stuff. But we're going to do the just the testimonies after the trip and go.
So this is right here. What you're at here is MSSM, the Marion School of Supernatural Ministry. And I know I've shared this a little bit before, but just to refresh your memory, this is kind of just a pilot program of what God's launching in the beginning in 2015. And then what God is launching in 2015, MSSM turns into the Kingdom Advancement School of Ministry. And it's going to begin in January of 2015. What it's going to be, it's going to be a year-long school that's going to kind of get you and equip you in your identity and your authority on Christ. And just a lot of incredible stuff. We're going to pull from some Bethel stuff and just from a lot of other resources that we have and we've acquired. But, you know, what our heart is here is we want to equip you to be able to do and experience some of the stuff that we did in Mexico City or in Mexico, but just create it to be who we are. Create it that is just who you are. You don't just go out on a trip to do this stuff. I mean, we do that. That's important. But that's just who you are. You're doing it on an everyday basis. So that's our heart behind this school. It's going to start mid-January, and it's going to be a year-long program. So I want you to kind of start thinking about that. I want you to start spreading the word if you feel like or if you feel good about it. If you've enjoyed what you've got here in this 6 weeks so far, we still have 1 week to go. But if you've enjoyed it, you know, just start telling people, because our heart is to see God's kingdom grow and people just get it. Get people saved, make disciples of them, and then just transform the world. We owe the world an encounter with God. We owe the addicts an encounter with God. We owe everybody an encounter with God. So we're just really excited about this school and what God's going to do through it. I don't know, but what I do know is already we have planned for the school. It's going to be optional for you guys or whoever's a part of the school, but there's going to be a trip in Mexico, just like we talked about here, but that's going to be at the end of the year. It's going to be the last week in October, and you guys are going to have the opportunity to go and to participate as well. So just be thinking about that. Gary, can you hit the music? And what we're going to do here is we're going to create a little mini baby fire tunnel here, and we're just going to kind of release kind of just the whatever it is that we got, kind of what we picked up on Mexico, except the bacteria. We won't give you the bacteria. Mexico's still with us for some of us. But yeah, we'll just do up, and you just come up, and you just come through in faith, and just believe that you're going to get something. All right? Yeah, come on, you guys are awesome. Yeah. Yes, thank you guys. Yeah, we're just so honored and so fortunate to be a part of it. You know, God never ceases to amaze me, but He does surprise me a lot. Yes, we are here next week. We have a celebration in store, and we're just gonna have a lot of fun next week and get together and fellowship more. And don't forget to fill out these testimony sheets. And I'm just gonna pray. You guys come through here and just get whatever's need to be getting. Thank you, Father, for this night, God. We thank you for the wonderful work that you've done, God. We just say more of it. More of it, God. We thank you, God. You're just creating us all to be that catalyst, God, for your glory, your goodness, and your love. Holy Spirit, you have more for us all. God, you have more for us all. God, I just pray there's freedom, God. There's freedom in the bones to move, God. There's freedom in the hearts to move. Father God, I just say more. God, just an increase, Father God. We just thank you for everything, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.